You're listening to the Christian Homeschool Moms Podcast, where you'll hear interviews, advice, and tips, and encouraging words just for the homeschooling mom. We're moms of faith helping other moms to homeschool with joy. Hi, and welcome to the Christian Homeschool Moms Podcast. I'm Demetria, and today we're going to talk about helping reluctant riders. If you have reluctant riders, this is the show for you. So before we get started, I wanted to let you know that our sponsor, again, is Great Homeschool Conventions. So if you've ever wanted to attend a convention, you could hop on over to their website and see what conventions may be coming your way at greathomeschoolconventions.com. Also, I'd like to share with you a new review that we received in iTunes. Says, love this podcast. It's by Poema Rosa. So I believe that's Poema Rosa. I might add a little Spanish there. It says, this is such a helpful and uplifting tool. I enjoy this podcast a lot. It has given me more confidence and the topics are very interesting. Keep the good work. Bendiciones. Is that Spanish or is that Italian? I don't know. But it's beautiful. So thank you so much for leaving that review for me on October 17th. You know, in this episode, I don't have any reviews or anything like that. All the information that I have for you is within the content of our topic. So I'll jump right into our topic on helping reluctant riders. Okay, so I'll start off with the whole general idea of riding, and I'm really addressing your upper elementary and middle school students. So probably starting around fourth grade or so, maybe third. And I have a sixth grader and we're still working through a lot of these issues right now. So this is the perspective that I'm coming from. And I'm not addressing handwriting on this podcast. This is more or less writing in general, as the craft of writing. Okay, so now the thing about writing is it really doesn't have to be a pain. This is something that I am learning currently as I've been in the process of helping my daughter, my sixth grader, to embrace writing. And it's not been an easy feat for her, and it hasn't been easy for me. I've tried a lot of different techniques with her, but the things that stand out the most and that have helped us the most is what I'm going to share with you today. We're still in that process of really getting through everything when it comes to writing, really getting through writing. When it's time for writing, I have to be very, very delicate in how I approach it with her. I have really pushed the writing issue to the point where we've experienced burnout with writing, and we've had to put it on the shelf for a little while and come back to it and reevaluate how I was addressing writing. And the reason it's hard for me is because I'm not a writing teacher, but I love to write, and I've always written and I've enjoyed writing since I was a little girl. So it's something that comes naturally for me, but not so naturally for my oldest daughter. So I wanted to dig in, get a little research background on how to actually introduce writing and how to teach writing. The teaching part of it is very, very different from the doing part of it. But once we're able to introduce it to our kids enough times where they understand the process, then there's not a whole lot of teaching left. It's really them knowing what to do, knowing the formula for each type of writing, and being able to just practice that and really get into their writing groove. But it definitely did not happen right away for us, and it's still something that we're constantly working on. So I wanted to talk about that today. So make sure that it's not a pain. That's the first thing I want to bring up, is it just, you want to make sure that you don't burn your kids out with it. Make writing fun, as much fun as you can possibly make it. Make it fun for your kids. If it means you need to embrace just purchase a curriculum that will help you, that will help to guide you through teaching writing, then do that. Do whatever it takes to make sure that you're able to find something that helps your kids along. I've purchased quite a few different workbooks. Usually I would get Spectrum or something very easy and just to the point. But what I've often found with those types of writing workbooks is that it is easy as far in terms of what the kids are asked to do in the workbooks, but it's not something that's easy for parents to teach children. I needed really a kind of a refresher course on how to teach writing in order to be effective. And so that's something that I also want to bring up, that if you need to go back and really remind yourself about the writing process, that might help you to clarify some things with your students. Okay, and also another thing that I want to mention before I get into the nuts and bolts of writing is don't require too much all at one time. You know, take your time. These are your kids are going to grow up, and they'll do more extensive writing as they get older. And the more they practice, the easier it will become to them. But don't require a whole lot at once. They have plenty of time to get into writing. Also, you know, don't be a literary critic. You know, let your kids discover what they want to say, and don't nitpick them to death about every little mistake that they're making in the process. And that is another one of my mistakes that I made. So learn from my mistakes. Don't nitpick your kids, and just, you know, step back and let them be creative and let them enjoy the process of writing. And then when it comes to the editing process, that's when you jump in and start helping them to correct their mistakes. But really just allowing them the space they need to formulate ideas will help not to discourage them with writing. Okay, so I'm going to jump right on into the whole process of writing. I'm in the process of really just educating myself and getting myself back into the mindset of how to present teaching or how to present writing to my child, so that when it's, you know, when I'm presented with the opportunity each week to get her into writing, that I'm not drawing a huge question mark in my brain about what to do next. You know, so this is what I've come up with to prepare myself, and I will share this with you. So the first thing is knowing the process of writing. That is number one. You know, that is your outline and your basis for how to approach writing. So the process of writing consists of about 5 steps, and the first is pre-writing. So that's the stage in which your child will brainstorm, collect ideas, and plan for their topics. So this is where you'll create an outline, or your child will create the outline if they need to, if it doesn't happen to be one of those creative writing stories. So, you know, have them brainstorm. And, you know, there are a lot of really, really cool templates and printables you can find online and which you could download. And these printables are so cute. They have like little templates of like a hamburger with the bun. The top bun is the topic sentence, and the bottom bun is the conclusion. And then you have the layers of the hamburger, like the lettuce and the cheese and the meat, everything in between. Those are your supporting sentences. So you can find printables like that online. You can also just purchase a book. I have one called The Creative Teacher that I purchased at Barnes & Noble. You can probably find it on eBay for way cheaper, but or Amazon. But, you know, when you find these writing workbooks that have templates that you can print out and make writing fun, you know, that those are really great ways to spice up your writing and just encourage your kids to write. So the first step is brainstorming, collecting ideas, making like a brainstorming web on a chalkboard or a marker board. You can plan it that way. You can have them use a variety of different methods for brainstorming their ideas. There's also a couple of apps that I'm going to share with you throughout the remainder of this podcast. One of those apps is, and I'll see if I can pull that up for you now. Okay, this app is called Flowboard. And what it is a storytelling and presentation app. And I'm reading this to you straight from iTunes. It says it's a storytelling and presentation app that allows anyone to make side-scrolling publications with images, text, videos, PDFs, links, and photo galleries. It says whether you have a story to tell, an idea to share, or a presentation to give, Flowboard allows you to create a presentation right from your iPad or share to any device. So these are $5.99, I believe, for Flowboard. And you can, you know, add videos, PDFs. It prints out creates PDFs. You can enter your text. You can create links for navigation. It connects you to all of your photos and videos and your cloud content. On Google Image Search, you can use that. And so basically, you know, you can create presentations with this, but it helps your child also to just be able to gather their ideas and collect them in one place. So it sounds like a pretty cool app. I've never used it. So I just want to let you know, though, that it was out there. And that could also be part of your pre-writing stage. Also, just one really simple way to get your writing ideas on paper is to have your child create an outline. Okay, so that's a very simple way to go. What's your topic sentence? What are your supporting sentences? What is your conclusion? You know. Okay, and so now the next part of process of writing is your rough draft. So have the child, have your child get his or her words down on paper or on the computer without editing, meaning don't jump in like I did with my child and start correcting all of the spelling and errors and the punctuation and grammar. All of this will get done during the editing stage, but during the process of writing, just let them get everything down. You want a logical progression of words and ideas to flow. And so just let them kind of, you know, get that down on paper. One thing with my daughter is because of the way she holds her pen or pencil, it's not easy for her to write for long. So, you know, we're working on posture. You may want to work on that with your child if that's a problem as well. Posture and just the way she leans into her right arm when she writes. It really does make a difference in how comfortable or uncomfortable she is. So usually after about 10 minutes or less even of writing, you know, she's done. And a lot of papers that we have to write, of course, are going to be much longer than that. We need her to be able to write at least a page and a half, you know, at this point in sixth grade. And so I would like for her to, you know, be able to write an essay and be able to get all of that down on paper. But I don't want to bog her down with pen and paper, you know. So we use the computer. And, you know, that's just a great way to help with typing skills as well. But it's a lot quicker for her because her typing is a lot faster than her handwriting. So we just utilize the computer as much as we can when it comes to writing. The next step is revision, and that's when it's actually time to edit what your child has done with the rough draft. So that's when you can come in and help them to refine their wording or expand on it. This is actually the really challenging part of writing, and I think this is the part that kind of is the scariest for my child. So getting that revision done, that's the part of the writing process that where I have to be the most delicate. And so just really, you're going to have to be in a mode where you're comfortable and feeling up to the challenge of supporting your student with his or her writing process at this point. Be in a relaxed position and just be ready to sit down and edit and help them to revise and edit. This is not something you want to do when you're already frustrated about something or you're not in a good mood. Don't go over revision and editing at that time. So just, you know, a word of advice there. But, you know, and you would revise, help them to revise, help them to edit, you know, for correct forms of grammar, spelling, punctuation. And then lastly is presentation. That's when you want to provide an opportunity for your child to present that paper or story or poem or whatever it is to an audience. So, you know, it could be just reading it out loud to you or maybe to their dad when he gets home from work or maybe to grandma or to a friend, a close friend of yours or another homeschooling family or even YouTube or just some outlet that you feel comfortable with having your child present. But presentation is a wonderful part of the writing process that lets the child know that they've done something that's worth sharing with others. Okay, there are 6 traits of writing. I've just gone over the writing process, but there are also 6 traits of writing that we need to really think about. And the first are ideas. So we've kind of already covered that with pre-writing. Basically, you need ideas in order to write and to brainstorm, collect your ideas, plan for your topics. So the first trait of writing is ideas. The second trait of writing is organization. So you want to make sure that your child knows, does the lead sentence hook the reader? You know, does this make me want to read more after reading your first sentence? Am I excited about what's going to come next after reading that first sentence? So finding a good hook, you know, is a wonderful part of the writing process that probably is the first thing you might want to focus on teaching after, of course, the process of writing. Really teach them how to get that hook so that they're intriguing their readers for the remainder of whatever it is that they're going to write about. And ask them, you know, as far as how the sentences are organized, do the sentences transition easily? So make sure that the sentences have an easy transition from one to the next, meaning the sentences flow well together and that the writing is easy to follow. So it's not broken up and it doesn't seem disjointed. Thirdly, voice. You know, help your child to formulate his or her own voice and make sure that the voice is appropriate to the audience so that whoever they're addressing, their voice addresses that particular audience, whether, you know, they're addressing the Senate in a business letter or a friendly letter. They're addressing a friend that would have, a completely different voice. And, you know, also helping your child to develop their own voice means that they have to find their own individuality and have their own perspective on things. So if they're doing expository writing or they're taking a position on a persuasive essay, they do need to have their own voice in order to portray what it is that they're trying to say in their own way. So help them to really hone in on their own voice and to create that and make it something that's theirs that they can own. Also, when using their voice in writing, they should show that they actually care about what they're writing about and that they're passionate about that topic. So have the child understand that it's important to speak with passion and with credibility, and be enthusiastic and expressive. All of that is really, really important in writing. I've learned over the years as the more I write, and I've written for magazines, I've written for blogs, of course, and of course, even with creating content for a podcast, it's really important to know what your material is, but also to be passionate about the topics that you're presenting. So, you know, teaching that to a child, it's basic, but it's very, very important that they understand how necessary it is in writing. So it's not just something that you're putting up two or three sentences or copying or taking someone else's tonality and making it theirs, but they really need to have their own tone and their own voice. Okay, the fourth trait of writing is word choice. So finding really expressive words, high energy words, is important. Also, just eliminating trite words or emotionless words can also help in their writing so it doesn't sound redundant. Okay, using a thesaurus is a great way to find high energy words and to replace words that we would normally use, like good. You can easily change a good to great or fabulous, even better. You know, so those types of things are really going to help in writing. And then lastly, sentence fluency, which is the type of sentences that are included in the writing. You don't want them all to be very short sentences, short and choppy, and you don't want all of the sentences to be long and drawn out and expressive. You want to have some sentences that are shorter, some that are longer, so a variety of length and structure of the sentences. And also the sentences need to sound soothing together and have some proper punctuation. You know, you don't want them all running together, don't want run-on sentences. So all that's important in fluency. And lastly are conventions, and that's the last trait of writing. A convention is typically the way that we accept writing standards in the English language. So it's a set of rules that we generally accept, and it includes things like proper sentence structure, punctuation, and proper spelling. Okay, and then of these conventions, you can think about the different styles of writing or types of writing. And so, for example, in narrative writing, there must be characters, setting, and a plot. So that's one type of convention. In descriptive writing, there must, you know, be some appealing to the senses through use of precise vocabulary and vivid and colorful vocabulary. In expository writing, it must explain, instruct, or define, or clarify, or inform. Okay, and persuasive writing must present an argument based on facts and logic. And the purpose of persuasive writing is to sway the reader's opinion to believe what you want them to believe. So those are the four types of writing as far as conventions go. But now there's some different aspects of these writings. So we have expository writing, persuasive writing, descriptive, narrative, technical, short stories, poetry, book reports, letter writing. These are all different types of writing. And take your pick on any one given week. You can have your child work on short stories for a couple of weeks. And then maybe for the next few weeks, have them work on descriptive writing, have them work on letter writing. But it all comes together, and they really need to have a variety of different types of writing practice. So, you know, let them practice the different types of writing. Okay, so those are the types of writing. And like I said, you know, it's just, it's a great thing to allow your children to have opportunities to practice these different writing skills. I like to do little writing intensives or writing clinics where usually about once a week, well, with our Sunlight curriculum, we do have writing assignments, and they go really fast, a little bit too fast for our pace. So we generally end up breaking it apart into two and making it last for 2 weeks. So we have extra time to delve into it. I realize that rushing through a writing assignment just doesn't work for us. So one thing I do like about our Sunlight this year for Core F is that there is a lot of writing practice and different types of writing practice. And so a few weeks ago, we were working on letter writing, and then shortly after a short story, and also persuasive essays. So we've had practice in the different genres of writing, and I really appreciate that about this curriculum. But even, you know, if you were not using a particular curriculum, just knowing, you know, what to expose your kids to will definitely be very helpful. So let me talk about now the elements of writing, different elements. I call them elements. I don't know if there's another, probably a different way to word it. But I would say elements of writing are comparing and contrasting. So, you know, you can do a compare contrast through poetry, believe it or not. You can do a compare contrast in a book report, comparing one aspect of the story to another. And so another element of writing would be fact opinion. So you can do fact opinion in a lot of different ways. You can apply facts versus opinion in an expository essay. You can compare fact versus opinion in a persuasive essay or a descriptive essay. So a lot of these things can be combined. Also, let's see, there's cause and effect, okay? And then some other parts of writing that I haven't addressed yet are research skills, because that, you know, that's going to be very important. As kids get older, the older they get, the more knowledge they're going to need in order to write a well thought out and well-rounded paper. So they're going to need some research skills. They're also going to need some note-taking skills. So being able to determine fact from opinion based on the research that they're gleaning from, and knowing fact versus opinion based on those resources, and then taking good notes from that information is really, really important. And as they get older, they'll be able to formulate a cause and effect because of global warming, XYZ, or because of, you know, our tax increase in this particular area, this is what's happened as a result. And they can apply these types of elements of writing in a variety of topics, and using a variety of of writing structure, whether it be technical or expository essay or even a book report. So, and lastly, I wanted to mention style guides and plagiarism as far as elements of writing go. These are really important as they get into upper grades. We haven't quite gotten there yet, being that we are still sixth grade and 11 years old, but we are touching briefly on how important it is not to plagiarize, and we'll be introducing some style guides really soon. So that's what we're currently working on. And now I will get into some strategies for writing. This is probably going to be more or less something that you can probably take home and do right away. Everything that I've talked about before is more or less the idea of learning about writing and what it is and the process of it. But at this point, now we'll get into strategies. How can you implement this in your home with your child? So we'll start with just a lot of ideas. I'll just throw some out there for you. Copy work. That's a really great way to get started. I did mention a little bit earlier that copying someone else's voice and tonality is not acceptable. But when it comes to copy work, it's different, because with copy work, what you're essentially doing, and this is what's being done in a lot of the curriculum that we're using now, such as writing rhetoric, and also we've used IEW, Institute for Excellence in Writing. They utilize the procedure or this copy work idea effectively. It is effective because what you're doing is you're taking a fine piece of literature, and your student is able to read that, understand that, copy that, or copy a good piece of literature. What they're doing is they're being able to make a connection between fine writing, and they're copying that down is giving them the practice that they need to also be able to formulate their own idea later on and be a fine writer as well. Okay, so we learn by copying. Many times we learn by doing and seeing others do it. If we watch others do it well, then we'll also do it well. So that's what the idea of copy work is about. If you copy a Bible verse, you know, that's not only going to stick in your memory better, but the idea that you're typing it or you're writing it out in longhand is very foundational for cementing the idea of proper grammar and proper sentence structure in your head. Okay, so that's the idea of copy work. You're using, if you're doing, let's see, narration, if you're speaking it back out loud and you're narrating, your child is narrating that out loud verbally, that's helping them to hear what's being spoken and also helping them to kind of see it visually in their head, although not necessarily visually. But when they write it down, they're able to connect both the auditory, the kinesthetic, writing it, and visually seeing it. So that all of this works together and helping them learn to be a better writer. So copy work is good. If you can find, and yes, you can, obviously there are tons of printables out there of copy work. You can print out pretty much anything you want in copy work form. It's somebody out there will have it available. There are a lot of bloggers today that offer free printables of copy work. So that's a good way to go to help assist with writing. Word banks, like fill in the blank kind of activities, are a lot of fun. So, you know, those aren't necessarily formulating ideas and creating your own writing piece, but it's a strategy that can help children to understand how to piece together the sentence correctly. So you could use word banks. Also, grammar activities. Anytime your child has exposure to grammar, it's always a good thing because they're learning how to edit. So it's part of the editing process and the proofreading process. So grammar activities helps sharpen their editing skills. Journaling is really, really good because it allows them for creative writing. And, you know, creative writing is not something that we get around to really promoting or pushing every single day. So anytime they get a chance to really tap into their creative side and just be able to journal their thoughts, emotions, their feelings, or journal anything that they wish, really. We should allow them the opportunity to journal. It's really healthy for them mentally, emotionally, and so giving them opportunities to journal is priceless. Okay, story starters are a really great way for getting some writing in. You know, you can have story starters, writing prompts, all of those things are really helpful for getting kids, getting their creative juices flowing. You give them a prompt, and then you tell them to write about that topic. And it just gives them a little jump, a little head start. So you're not filling in the blank for them, and they do have to complete it on their own, but you're giving them an idea of what to write about. Okay, so story starters or writing prompts are really good. And of course, editing and interviews. So that's another great way to write. I mean, if they could go out and find someone, even you or your husband or your mom or dad or somebody that they could interview. And one thing we did when my sixth grader was in second grade is we had her interview her own father. He's in the military and reservist. So he had a lot to offer her informationally about what it means to be in the military. And so she asked him a lot of questions on Veterans Day, and she had this little podcast that we did. It was so cute. And we had her create the audio. She had a little MP3 recorder, and she recorded her interview with her father. And then I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that she actually typed it up from the interview. And then that was her writing assignment. And it was an excellent, I never forgot it because it was such an excellent activity for her. And so over the years, we kind of dropped off the bandwagon there when it comes to really being creative with our writing. So we're going to pick back up on some of those ideas and start doing that again, because that was such a cool activity we did. I think we want to do something like that again. But interviews are fun. And your child will learn so much by interviewing somebody in the community, interviewing someone who has done something wonderful in your community, or who has gone overseas, or someone who just has a lot to offer. You know, it's a great way to have them be excited about writing something that's of importance to them. Okay, another thing are narrations. So reading good literature out loud, like I said earlier, is just a great writing strategy. And again, I'll mention IEW because that was a great curriculum that worked well for us last year. And because of the approach they take with narrating and the approach that was taken in that curriculum, it took the pressure off of writing, and it made it a lot less complicated. You know, and there's a format that the Andrew Padua actually has in his writing lessons. And he uses this formula, and he just really helps children to focus on what's important with writing and not get too caught up in what's not important. So he does an excellent job in IEW. I'm also currently using Writing Rhetoric, which is a great program as well. It's got a little bit of a different approach also. But again, they're using great literature, they're using fables, and they're able to extract from that the kind of the process of narrating and understanding the writing process. So now I'm going to share with you a few apps that you might find interesting. There's only one of these that is free, and the others I think are going to be between $5 and $6. But this is something you can check out when you have a chance. There's one called Poplet, and it's for grades 3 through 12. This is really great for work, and I'm going to read you directly what it says on iTunes. So it says, great for work, great for school. Poplet is a platform for your ideas. Poplet's super simple interface allows you to move at the speed of your thoughts. With Poplet, you can capture your ideas, sort them visually, and collaborate with others in real time, quickly and easily. So what they offer are brainstorming and mind mapping, diagrams, process charts, journals, notes, lists, mood boards, scrapbooking, travel plans, photo albums, portfolios, presentations, and all of this you're able to do using Poplet. And like I said, grades 3 through 12, so it is very kid friendly and looks like fun. Okay, this one, I don't know what the price is because I did not actually make a note of that. Okay. But you can go and check that out in iTunes if you feel like that's something you want to check out. It's called Poplet, P-O-P-P-L-E-T. All right. And there is actually a free version available of Poplet, but it's only available for the iPad. So if you want it on your iPhone, I believe you have to pay $5 or $6, something to that effect. All right. Sentence Builder is another app. It's designed to help elementary age children learn how to build grammatically correct sentences. So there's different levels of play, encouragement animations, and audio clips. They have a correct sentence audio reinforcement. And each student has their own stats page. Okay, so anyway, there are a lot of different aspects to this app that you can look at for yourself, but the cost of it is $5.99. I did tell you about Flowboard already, which is a good brainstorming app. Okay, so that's about it. And also, I'll give you two websites that you might find really interesting. One is Kim's Corner for TeacherTalk.com. And of course, I'm going to leave you links to all of these in the show notes, so that you'll know how to find these links, because a lot of these are a little difficult to leave here on the podcast. So I will leave these links for you on the website. Kim's Corner for Teacher Talk gives excellent resource materials for writing, like writing prompts, a writing handbook. She has rubrics, teaching ideas, organization, information about finding your voice, sentence fluency. A lot of things are there. So I think some of the links that I found there were outdated, but as far as the material that she has posted to her site, not including links or anything like that, it's pretty good info. So you may want to check that out. Also, you may want to check out languagearts.ppst.com. So these are PowerPoint slides, a lot of them. And these are all PowerPoint presentations that help teach writing, and includes links to writing games and clip art. So there are a ton of writing, just writing activities, games, and just writing in general, information about writing that will help your children. And this is from an elementary/middle school perspective. So you may want to check that out. And again, I will leave this link in the show notes. And this is going to be episode number 48. So that's it for now. And if you have any questions about what I've mentioned on this podcast, feel free to contact me at christianhomeschoolmoms.com. And my email is momzest, M-O-M-Z-E-S-T, @gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening in on this podcast today. It was a little bit long, but I hope that I've given you a lot of good info about writing that you can take and utilize in your home starting this week. And I hope you have fun writing, and that your children will learn to enjoy writing as mine is beginning to. So I will talk to you guys next time, and thanks for listening.